all gotten a little introduction to me, but I don't know any of you except for that you're a diehard crowd that's committed and enduring and came to this session. So I'm just curious, among the different activities that were mentioned, I'm also the director of a multi-site evaluation center that's funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration on increasing access to oral health care for people with HIV. And I'm just curious, how many of you are practicing oral health clinicians that see people with HIV in your practices? Anybody?
Well, in the past or in the current?
In the past, yes. Yeah, so a lot of you. Okay. Well, many of you then may be aware that 2 years ago, the President's Advisory Council on HIV and AIDS recommended that oral health care be part of the core continuum of medical services available under the Ryan White Care Act. Actually, it's called the Ryan White Treatment Authorization Act now. So with recent reauthorization of the Act, this recommendation has found its way into federal policy. And under the current law, 75% of the federal funds available through the Act, which is one of the major funding sources for HIV services and care, are designated for core medical services, and dental care is now considered a core medical service. So what I really want to talk about today, the sort of purpose of my presentation, is to consider how real is this? How real is it that dental care is part of the core medical services available to people for HIV? And if it's not very real, then what can we do to try and help make it real? So I probably don't need to talk to this group about what the urgent need is for dental care for people with living with HIV. But briefly, most people with HIV experience oral manifestations of the disease, in some studies as many as 95% of all people with HIV. It's very clear that good preventive care can forestall the progression of periodontal disease, which is common in people with suppressed immune systems, that preventive care and prompt treatment can reduce pain and discomfort, which makes it easier for people to, you know, eat a nutritious diet and take their medications, all of which maintain health. And then in the best of all possible worlds, if a dentist is adequately trained, they may be able to detect oral symptoms that serve as a trigger to make a referral back to medical care. If somebody's failing in their antiretroviral treatment, for example, it may appear as something in the mouth, and a savvy dentist might be able to detect it and make a referral back to the physician. But we're a long way from realizing this potential. In the Surgeon General's report that came out a while ago, documented significant disparities in oral health care. Their unmet needs for oral health care among people living with HIV are higher than for the general population. The unmet needs for oral health care are higher than the unmet needs for medical care. And the CDC estimates that 30% of all people who know their HIV status aren't in medical care. And other studies show that 40 to 50% of people with HIV aren't receiving any kind of oral health care. So it's a huge, huge issue. So let me switch gears a little bit and talk about an initiative that we recently concluded. It was a HRSA-funded study funded by the Special Projects of National Significance to test outreach interventions to bring people who were not receiving HIV care into HIV care, medical care, and to retain them in care. And while the focus of these interventions was engagement in HIV primary care, and that was also the focus of the evaluation, we did collect some limited data on access to dental care. And we were able to examine the impact of these interventions, most of which included some sort of case management component, on engagement and retention in HIV primary care, but also on a variety of other outcomes, including unmet health and support services needs and dental care, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on that in a minute. So this demonstration was located at 10 sites in 9 cities across the United States, and the study methods included client interviews, which were administered to everybody who enrolled in the study at baseline, 6 months and 12 months, and you can see some of the information that we collected there. We also looked at medical charts to document HIV primary care visits, lab values, and outreach encounters. And some of the major findings, these findings actually have been published in a variety of peer-reviewed journals over the past year, but there was a supplement of AIDS patient care and STDs that came out in June that includes 10 articles on findings from the study. But we found that the outreach programs or system navigation programs, care coordination programs, whatever you wanted to call them, were effective in promoting engagement and retention in medical care. And that the things that were associated with people not engaging in care included health beliefs that got in their way, poor mental health status, active drug use, and practical barriers like lack of transportation or not being able to make an appointment or not being able to find a provider. And we also found that as people became connected to care, their other unmet needs declined as well. So now let me shift gears and go back to dental care. One section of the survey asked participants about their other unmet needs, such as dental care, housing, food, transportation, mental health services, benefits like health insurance, and drug treatment. And we asked the question, in the last 6 months, did you need dental care, housing? And then if the participant answered yes, they were asked if that need was met. And we did this at baseline 6 months and 12 months. So we didn't ask a lot of questions about dental care, but we did ask that one. And we had 505 people. Not all the sites asked this question, but most of them did. And what we found was that the unmet need for dental care was very, very high. It was higher than the unmet need for anything else. Almost 45% of the people expressed an unmet need for dental care, which is, I think the first slide said 40 to 50% of people aren't receiving dental care. People living with HIV aren't receiving dental care, so this is right in the middle of that. So this probably doesn't come as a big surprise to you. But then because we collected so much other information, we were able to look at what were the factors that were associated with unmet need for dental care at baseline, and we controlled for race and ethnicity, education, and CD4 count, and we found that people in poorer health, physical health and poor mental health, with less than two medical visits in the last 6 months, with no health insurance, and with other unmet needs, were most likely to have an unmet need for dental care at baseline. So then we looked at the same group and all these unmet needs and said, well, what happened 12 months later after they've been enrolled in these interventions designed to try and address their needs and get them into medical care? Did that get them into dental care? And the answer was a little bit. So all the unmet needs declined, which is good, but the unmet needs for dental care were still the highest, and it was still a third of the sample reporting an unmet need for dental care. So this just shows the slope for all the unmet needs, and most of the other unmet needs were more likely to be addressed than dental care. Mental health didn't do so well, but everything else was addressed for more of the people in the sample than dental care. So what do we conclude from this? Most of the interventions that were designed to engage people in HIV medical care were also really designed to serve clients in a holistic manner, helping people access resources and benefits and navigate systems and address other unmet needs. So we found that these efforts, you know, did reduce the unmet need for dental care, but it really wasn't automatic at all. And I think that most of these programs, many of these programs took a very client-centered approach to care, so they wanted to involve the clients in determining their priorities and identifying what needed to be addressed. And while I'm a big proponent of that, if you think about it, unless you're in excruciating dental pain, you might not be likely to identify that as a priority if you're homeless or you're having mental health problems or you're in a very unstable social situation. So, we conclude from this that interventions, unless they're explicitly designed to address oral health needs, unless that's made very conscious, it's not going to happen automatically. It's much more likely that they will help people find housing or get them health insurance or something else. So I want to switch gears a little bit to a new effort that's just been launched in the last year, which is another HRSA-funded special project of national significance to expand access to HIV oral health care across the country. And there are 15 sites around the country that have been funded to do this. 8 of them are rural programs, and 7 are urban. One of them is in Miami. Eves is running that one. I think he's going to talk about something else today. But 4 of them are using mobile vans to increase access to dental care. 3 of them are using what I call mobile dentists. It's the dentists that are traveling around. 2 use mobile equipment. 7 are co-located medical and dental clinics. And 1 is a program that's been started at a dental hygiene school in Oregon. 1 year into the project, we're learning what strategies the different oral health programs are using to try and bring people into care. They're doing a lot of oral health information and education to HIV case managers and medical providers. And that's really, really essential. There's a whole curriculum that's being developed for educating case managers about why oral health care is part of the core medical services and part of the continuum of care. A lot of the programs are going directly to clients, either working with other AIDS service organizations who will host dinners or support groups, and the oral health programs will go out and often do screenings on the spot, you know, after a support group. Do a screening right there, set up the appointments for the dental visits. There are newsletters, web pages, Spanish language radio interviews. I love this one. One of the programs in rural Pennsylvania has a Latino van driver and dental case manager who was interviewed on Spanish language radio. And before the program was over, his phone was ringing with people wanting appointments. And then a lot of the programs are using what we call patient navigators or dental case managers, roles that may be adapted from medical care, HIV medical care, to really try and walk people through the oral health system, either from a medical clinic to a mobile van that's providing dental care, or help them navigate through a teaching hospital specialty clinic for specialty oral health care. So we're 1 year into the project, but we're already talking about sustainability, because if these programs can't be sustained, then there's no point in having funded them to begin with. So clearly education and outreach are necessary, and so is overcoming the individual patient fears about going to the dentist. And another key for sustainability is finding or training dentists who will treat people with HIV as part of their routine dental practices. But the bottom line, as always in dental care, is finding the funds to create and sustain the services. So this is a focus that we're working with all the projects on right now. Part of it is collecting the data and the process and outcome data to show that these programs are successful. And the other part really is exploring all avenues of Ryan White funding. If oral health care is now core medical services and some parts of the country have received an increase in funding through the Ryan White Care Act, then we're really encouraging people to go and make the case that dental care needs to be funded through that. Helping people obtain the clinic licensures and ability to maximize Medicaid revenue in states where that's a possibility. There's some creative ideas about cross-subsidizing the HIV care with patients that are seen that have private insurance, going after private and foundation funding. And actually, you can do some Medicare billing for certain procedures, medical procedures in the mouth. So these are some of the things that the different demonstration projects are starting to work on now to become sustainable.